Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We've been speaking about this. In fact, I speak about it constantly. Every now and then I ask you to find me a wall that I can bash my head against. And that is all about so-called woke culture, because sometimes we seem to be going too far. The problem is that often we do need to look at social injustices, and we do need to improve when, I guess, each of us has our own measure of how far is too far and when it is. So we're trying to figure that out. We've invited Professor Nyasha Mboti, Associate Professor and Head of Department of Communication Studies at the University of the Free State, to help us navigate this very difficult area. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and thanks for having me.
So, woke culture, that's become the term. I'm not even sure if it's meant to be a derogatory term. I mean, are woke people proud of being woke? Or is that, you know what I mean? Like, is it a term that people say, yes, I'm woke, you know, or not really?
It depends who is calling who woke.
Okay. And
you will find that this is a term that is shrouded in a lot of very ambiguous agendas and ways of seeing the world. So I think when you look at the current version or the current mutation of woke, or what has come around to be called wokeism. So there's a difference between woke and wokeism. The ism is more the ideology, and the ism is more the reaction, the backlash against being woke. So when I say that someone is woke, you can tell immediately from the word that, you know, it is not the normal way of using, if you want, English, the standard way of using English is awake, right? So I say Howard is awake.
Right.
So when I say Howard is woke, immediately I am signaling that I'm using Black American English, or the way of speaking English in Black America. So when we have debates about woke, what we are putting on trial here is that Black American aspect of woke culture, because the word woke comes from Black American culture or Black American ways of speaking. But there are other ways that they use as well.
Wait, so then I've got a brilliant idea. Can't we just say that's cultural appropriation for us to take an American saying and bring it here, and then we can't even use it anymore? How cool would that be? And how woke would that be?
Yes, there's a lot of appropriation
ironically
there, because this thing starts with Black Lives Matter. At least the latest mutation of woke gained currency with Black Lives Matter. But what you see with Black Lives Matter is there was an internal contradiction to both Black Lives Matter and Me Too. So with Me Too, with hashtag Me Too, the Me Too movement started within a Black American community. It was started by a Black woman, but then it got appropriated by a white celebrity, and then it became associated with her.
I think it was Alyssa Milano who used it.
Yes, exactly. Same thing with BLM as well.
Mm.
So what you notice about these movements is that they become subject to appropriation, particularly by white folks, where now there's an element of overzealousness, which is very annoying, where, you know, outsiders become even more outraged than the insider.
Can I paraphrase that? So you're saying there is nothing more annoying than a woke white guy?
Absolutely. Because what happens is the movement just slides into performative politics now. People then say, look, it's as annoying as a white person who is caught being racist, I have friends who are Black. You know, all my friends are Black and so on. In other words, so in South Africa, we have a similar word to this, but it's not woke. So we have the word Mafikizolo, right?
Right.
And Mafikizolo means someone who just came yesterday, because Izolo is yesterday. And Mafikizolo is someone who comes just yesterday, and they claim to know everything, more than the people who were already there. And so when we use Mafikizolo, it's a term to just show that, look, to signal that this person is annoying and this person is woke, at least in the pejorative way of using woke. So I think it's absolutely linked to cancel culture, and it's linked to people who then overreact and who take over causes that they know very little about. But just because it seems fun to do it, and it's a temporary enjoyment that they get out of it. So you get this reaction against woke culture. I think it's largely a reaction to the appropriation of causes that they know very little about, by people who find out that it's actually good, it makes them look good to adopt those causes.
So it's really all optics. It really is all just showcasing a skin-deep knowledge and skin-deep care, maybe, about an issue that somebody thinks makes them look progressive.
Absolutely.
and forward-thinking.
Absolutely. Then you go out there and you start labeling people around you that, you know, you are not woke enough. You are not showing that you really care about the climate. You do not really care about racial justice, about social justice. So people move around labeling people, attaching labels, and making people feel bad about not taking particular positions. And I think this is the reaction against woke and woke, so-called woke culture. But part of the problem now is that when you criticize woke, you find out that you have very strange bedfellows. So, for instance, in South Africa, one of the most prominent critics of woke culture is Helen Zille. And she has written about it, and she has tweeted about it, and claims that, look, the woke culture is one of the biggest threats to South African cohesion and so on and so forth. And what it means is you get a very strange coalition of authentic critics of woke culture and, again, very opportunistic critics of woke culture. And so you see a position taken by Helen Zille against woke culture where she defends her rigid views and says, look, it's because I'm not woke. She's actually being woke again because she's appropriating woke and attacking woke by saying, right, if you attack me, you are woke. So she uses the woke culture and the woke inflection to actually defend herself and say, anyone who criticizes me is woke. So it's a way also, so there's a very self-serving agenda around also critiques against woke, because you can always guard yourself and hide behind saying, all my critiques are just woke. So if I criticize you, Howard, right now, you say, oh, it's probably because Nyasha is woke. The problem is woke and I'm not woke. So there is a lot going on.
So it actually becomes just a very, it's just a label. It just becomes a comfortable label to silence somebody and not to listen to their view, which is in fact some of the biggest problems that we have today, is that we play the messenger. We don't actually talk about the issue itself because we just label people. In other words, you don't have a right to have a view on this. I don't have a right to have a view on something else because we categorized in a certain way, and therefore conversation dies. It becomes all about identity.
I agree 100%. It is a label that is very convenient for silencing someone you think you feel uncomfortable responding to, or who you just do not want to respond to. So if I call you woke, I mean, this is like I pointed earlier, it's an extension of cancel culture, so-called cancel culture. Because
exactly what it does, 100%.
Absolutely. Mm. So if I cannot engage with your point of view, what is the best way to just assign you to the dustbin of non-attention or history? I just call you, I just cancel you, or I just call you woke. Yes, absolutely. It's easy for people of either persuasion, even people who belong to the left and the right, can use this label in their to their advantage. So it is a label that unfortunately has become not just convenient but useful in a space where there's a lot of laziness. around trying to engage with others and trying to have a difficult conversation. And when I listen to the word, it makes me uncomfortable because the word walk, it's like the way, you know, people use the word kumbaya, you know, how someone uses the word kumbaya
as a noun
that simply that you use to dismiss. So you say, oh, yeah, we can do that, kumbaya, and so on. And kumbaya is a word that is drawn from African, Black American spirituals, from the lyrics, come by here. And so what you find that is, at first, there's an appropriation of the so-called Negro spirituals, and then dismissing them.
Very.
Yes, just our kumbaya, feeling good, but not practical, not
Absolutely.
Usable, and so on. So there's appropriation followed by dismissal. And this is exactly what WOC does. It dismisses genuine and authentic concerns about injustice. It just passes them together and just dismisses them as, come on, it's just WOC.
Just WOC. I absolutely love that, Professor Nyasha Mboti, Associate Professor and Head of Department of Communication Studies at the University of Free State.